Howard, if you had become president, how would the country be different?
Well, I think we would have had universal health care, probably with a Medicare option. And I think Medicare would have been used, and Medicaid would have both been used very heavily. I think on the NSA stuff, which is sort of the cause du jour, probably the program would still be there, but I would have probably gone on television and explained it to the public about why it is that it was necessary. And because I think people get that you have to defend yourself in a dangerous world where people have killed 3,000 civilians on our own soil. You can't hide your head in the sand. But I also think this is a nation that's governed with the consent of the governed. And I think there's been that forgotten. I don't really blame President Obama for this. That was put in by Cheney and Bush. So, it's hard to say. I'm passionate about 0 to 3. I think a lot of the problems in our school systems have nothing to do with unions and money. They have to do with the fact that we're letting kids in really difficult areas be damaged before they get to 3 years old, and we've got to do something about that. And it's also why we have such a big prison population in this country. So there's a lot of things that I campaigned about, and we would, as President Obama has done, be out of Iraq, which I commend him for. But there's a lot of things that that I felt pretty passionately about when I was governor, and I think some of that would have happened.
What did you learn about yourself and about national politics during that campaign?
Well, I learned that I was tougher than I thought I was in terms of myself, and that I had more stamina than I thought. But I also learned that it's a really, really tough game, which shouldn't have surprised me because, after all, this is the most powerful position in the world. And that the media feels somehow entitled to fully participate in that as a player, not just as a reporter.
What did you do successfully?
Well, successfully, we were the vehicle for a whole new generation to mobilize itself in politics. It's a little like the McCarthy campaign in 68, except I'm nothing like Gene McCarthy. But this gave voice to a whole generation of people. The interesting thing that most people miss out, though, is that this also gave voice to a bunch of people my age who'd given up in the political process for 25, 30 years since Nixon and Reagan. And that was important, too. It brought a lot of people my age back into politics who'd given up.
A lot of people talk about how your campaign changed politics by really getting people involved in the internet.
Right.
And you kind of downplay your involvement in that and say a lot of it was your campaign workers.
It was. I didn't know much about the internet, and I'm still way behind the curve on 25-year-olds. But what I did know is that this was a great tool for empowering people, and I'm all about empowering others. I think the mistake in my generation when we were doing all the social movements in the 60s and the 70s is there always had to be a victim. And the fact that there was a victim made us stronger. What this generation believes is that there should be no victims of any kind. It's the difference between Anne-Marie Slaughter and Sheryl Sandberg. Anne-Marie Slaughter is of my generation, and that story was about the continuing discrimination against women. The Sheryl Sandberg story from another generation, although not quite a 25-year-old, but she works with them every day at Facebook, is it really a story that everybody has to be empowered so nobody's a victim. And that's really the change in philosophy between us in the 60s, social activists, and the social activists of the millennium, new millennium.
Obviously, your campaign, you didn't become president. I talked to somebody earlier today who is a state representative in New Hampshire,
right,
who has been inspired by your campaign and remained inspired. How surprised are you that your campaign 10 years ago still inspires people?
I'm actually not as surprised as you might think. And the reason is I realized by the time we were about to drop out that this had become a movement, not a campaign. And that it wasn't about me. It was about this new generation that was doing extraordinary things. So on my speech when I dropped out on February 18th, 2004, after the Wisconsin primary, I just said, go run for office. This is not about me. We got to keep doing this. And a lot of people have done that of every generation, including people who never thought that they would ever be elected in office, and they are now. And it's making a big difference in the country.
A lot of the pundits back then always pointed to that infamous scream as the reason why you lost the election and that you lost further primaries. But you've always said it's a lot of other factors. Why do you think you lost?
The pundits are usually wrong, and this is not an exception. I came in third in Iowa, and I was supposed to come in first. And I'd been the front runner, and we made some tactical mistakes at the end of the campaign in terms of attack ads, which I actually, frankly, didn't know anything about. And that's always a bad thing to do in a multi-candidate race. We also were not as well organized as we should have been, particularly in Iowa. And then I kept saying things that I shouldn't have said. I have this penchant for telling the truth as I see it. That's not always a good thing in politics. And I remember saying when Saddam Hussein was captured, the fact that Saddam Hussein has been captured does not make us any safer, which was true, but it was a stupid thing to say on the day Saddam Hussein was captured, which was somewhat of a celebration. So there are a lot of faults, and I think the leading fault was me. I think the skills of being governor of a small state, where everybody knows everybody and you can have personal contact with almost everybody, are different than the skills of running for president of the United States, and that was a big hurdle for me to climb over.
Yeah, a lot of people felt that your honesty, your forthright comments were what drew them to you.
That's true. I mean, that made me an important catalyst for the future. I mean, that is what empowered people, is I treated people with respect, and I treated people as if they mattered. And, people do matter, but they have to believe they matter. And that was what our campaign did best. We got people to believe that they counted, they mattered, and they had power to change their own lives. And I still believe that that's essential to a functioning democracy. People were pretty demoralized after 4 years of Dick Cheney and George Bush. And we really needed to light that fire, and we did.
Some people might find it a little odd that somebody is celebrating the 10th anniversary of a failed presidential campaign. What's the message you want to send through this?
Well, the truth is, when you think about it, it was hardly a failed presidential campaign. I didn't win the presidency, so from that point of view, it was failed. But the fact is, a whole generation revolutionized politics, and they did it through this campaign. So this campaign turns out to have been the campaign in 2004, even though I didn't win.